Hello and welcome back to Women's Wellness Radio and welcome to our new guests. We really appreciate you being here. My name is Bridget Danner and I'm your host. We have a really great show today. Our guest today is Tom Walter and our topic today is eliminating food sensitivities for the whole family. Just a little bit more about the show in general. It's an interview show and kind of a variety show on the topic of women's health. So we talk to experts in functional medicine or nutrition, which is kind of two hats that Tom wears. We also talk about, you know, lifestyle and some energy medicine, kind of all over the place, but always really high quality guests is definitely like a continuing theme for us. So I hope you enjoy this one with Tom Walter. Hi, Tom.
Bridget, hi, how are you?
Good. I'm excited to have you on the show.
Oh, it's an honor to be with you. That's fantastic.
I wanted to tell you a little story first. I had a dinner with Sean Croxton of Underground Wellness a few months ago when I was vacationing in California, and we were just, you know, kind of talking about the industry, and he was saying that one of his favorite parts is how there's so many great people. And he was saying that he'd just met with you, and he said you were the nicest guy ever. So I was like, oh, that's really sweet.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, he came up and interviewed me for something, and you know, all I wanted to do was take him out hiking. So I think he remembered that one.
Oh, did you guys go?
No, he didn't have the time, actually. He had to catch a plane.
But, so you're in Bellingham, Washington.
Yes, I live on Mount Baker Highway. So basically, you know, the roadway that leads to the door of the Cascades. So we run into the Mount Baker Snoqualmie Wilderness area, and then that drops over the ridge line into the rest of the Cascade Range. So, yeah, we get to hang out in what would be considered the small Swiss Alps all the time. So it's a gorgeous area.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not too far away in Oregon, so I'll have to – I don't know Bellingham very well, so I'm going to have to go check out that area sometime.
Oh, my gosh. You just come on up, and I'll take you hiking.
Well, yeah, I totally want to go hiking. So let's talk a little bit about your background, both professionally and kind of – I would say you're somewhat of an expert in children's nutrition because you've got a big family of your own. You want to tell us a little bit about your family?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I've been interested in nutrition since I've been 10. So pretty much my family doctor was Dr. John McDougall, one of the forks over knives doctors who's been looking at food for medicine forever. And, you know, I started studying in high school every chance I got. I actually started pulling medical journal articles when I was in high school. And I went to junior college and I had many arguments with my nutrition professor who at the time said, you know, it doesn't matter what food you eat, it doesn't have to be organic, blah, 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 blah. And I would bring in these articles from, you know, JAMA and British Medical Journal and American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. I'd say, well, I think you're wrong. And so I started this whole process of wanting to know more about, you know, what makes us tick, what's really allowing us to be connected to our environment and be connected to our cellular function. And they seem to be one and the same, right? If we have clean air, food, water, soil, then all these things turn on these genes. They allow our cells to rejuvenate and grow, and we're just happy, healthy human beings. So I've always been fascinated in that, and that drove me to Bastyr University, where I studied for a bachelor's and a master's degree. But while I was there, I was a chemistry tutor, an anatomy physiology tutor to a wonderful young woman who ended up, we had our first child while we were still in school, and our second one came in my master's program. And then after that, we started a business called Whole Life Nutrition. And Allie, my wife, is a personal chef, and so she had this personal chef business. And we would design diets for people who are going through life challenges. So they had diabetes or they were athletes or they were pregnant or whatever the case was. And I would design the diet. She would cook the recipes and people loved her recipes and our dietary program. So we put a cookbook together for some of our clients. It's called the Whole Life Nutrition Cookbook. And we thought, oh, we'll just print 100 books and we'll sell them and it'll be fine. But the printer said, no, you have to order a minimum of 1,000. So we're like, oh my gosh, these are going to sit in our garage for years and years and years. So we ordered 1,000 books, and within, you know, 30 days, we sold 400 books. And we're like, whoa, you know, what's going on here? Within a couple of months, they were all gone. So since then, we've sold over 70,000 copies of the Whole Life Nutrition Cookbook,
wow.
Self-published. Yeah, and then we got picked up by a publisher, and we wanted to tell people about how important it is to look at food sensitivities for brain behavior, gut health, all these different things that I was seeing in my own self and my own clinical practice. And so, you know, the second book, when we were getting into our, you know, third and fourth child, we had twins, you know, we wanted to focus a lot on family. So we made it very friendly for people who are pregnant for breastfeeding. We have a list in there of, you know, introducing solid foods. And then we really focused on recipes that the entire family would enjoy. So between those two books, we're now considered by the functional medicine community, you know, one of the go-to gluten-free, dairy-free, whole foods, organic cookbooks out there. So we have the Whole Life Nutrition Cookbook and the Nourishing Meals Cookbook. And since then, we've had another child. And so we have five children who have recipe tested all of our stuff. And, you know, we live basically what we teach. So that's where we're at.
That's so great. And then your most recent book is called The Elimination Diet, Discover the Foods That Are Making You Sick and Tired and Feel Better Faster. Or Feel Better Faster.
Yeah.
So tell me about this last book and why you wrote it, why it's important.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the interesting thing is I started seeing back in 2004 that the food sensitivity piece is probably one of the most important aspects of functional medicine. So we're always taught in the Institute for Functional Medicine, which I'm a certified practitioner, we're always taught, you know, there's something called the 4R program. There's something called calming the gut down no matter what the disease, whether you're dealing with Hashimoto's thyroiditis or you're dealing with irritable bowel or you're dealing with eczema. The first priority is to calm down the intestinal tract. That's where the vast majority of your immune cells lie. It's where you're going to trigger an inflammatory response better than anywhere else in your entire body. So we say, let's look at something called the 4R program to heal that gut. And the 4Rs are remove, replace, re-inoculate, and repair. So they teach us first, they say, look, if you're going through life, and all throughout the day, you're throwing irritants at your intestinal tract. You really have to remove those irritants before you can make progress in disease. And for some people, that's processed foods, and they're eating lots of pop, and they're eating lots of sweetened coffee beverages with high fructose corn syrup in it, or they're doing something that's constantly irritating them. For other people, they're working in nail salons, or they're working in a tire shop, or they're working as an automotive mechanic, and they're constantly exposed to chemicals, and that might be the primary irritant for them. But for the vast majority of people walking around, the irritants are far more subtle. The irritants are the foods they're consuming. And because they maybe were born with a C-section, or they had lots of antibiotics, or they have terrible nutrition, or whatever the case is, over the years, their body has been responding to foods like a foreign invader. They've been perceiving the foods they're eating, the gluten, the dairy, the eggs, the yeast, the corn, the soy. They've been looking at those proteins and mistakenly attacking them as if they're like bacterial or viral invaders. And so every time after they eat, they feel tired or bloated or they get joint pain or they get migraines. In fact, the literature now, Bridget, is showing us that rheumatoid arthritis and migraines are food-associated disorders, meaning the primary trigger to get that inflammation in the joints, to get that response in the head, in the brain, are foods. And I'll tell you what, if you look at the literature, it's very fascinating, but you can reverse those with supplements and foods. In fact, our success rate on migraines with foods alone, even without the supplements, is 93%. Mm. So if we find specific foods that are irritating people, we remove those foods and their suffering can go away. So I was so fascinated by this. I was in my own clinical practice, you know, recommending for over a decade now these elimination diets and seeing, like, you know, people with MS and their symptoms would go away and they would start, you know, walking again. And I've seen people who have chronic migraines for decades upon decades with heavy medication and the migraines disappear. I've seen rheumatoid arthritis for 31 years disappear. I've seen all these miraculous case studies. And that's not what happens for everybody, mind you. But I saw enough of these amazing case studies to say, well, we're onto something here. We're really onto something. So that removing part is the first step. And so I thought, gosh, if I'm going to write a book about one thing a person can do to give themselves a foundation, a leg up in their healing process, it would have to be removing the irritants from their diet. But I also talk about the second R in there too, which is replace, which is replace the body's ability to digest your food. So we look at things like something called betaine HCL to help with gastric acid. And we look at things like pancreatic enzymes to help people break down their foods. But think about this for a second, Bridget. I mean, where are you getting all your fuel to build a human being from? You're getting it from your food. And where are you getting all your fuel to feed the organisms that live in your intestinal tract, which are we're now finding incredibly important, this microbiome for keeping people healthy and happy? It comes from your food. And where are you getting a lot of the anti-inflammatory compounds, these things that we call antioxidants or phytochemicals? They're coming from your food. So what the elimination diet does is it ramps up all the beneficial things and it pulls down some of the irritating things. And, you know, we run people through these programs online. We have our book and the feedback I'm getting is phenomenal. I mean, I get emails from all over the globe now. Oh, my gosh, thank you so much. My psoriasis disappeared after a couple of weeks. Oh, my gosh, thank you so much. You know, my dad, who is suffering from pulmonary disorders and was on oxygen, now all of a sudden he can walk without oxygen. I mean, all these amazing things that are occurring. So, you know, I had to write the book and now I'm really excited to share it with a lot of people. So one of the things that I'm noticing maybe for your audience is what happens with children's behavior. So one of the prime symptoms of food sensitivity reactions isn't necessarily gut issues. It can be, but what I see more than anything, it's mood, it's behavior. So I see children get more anxious. I see adults get more depressed. I see there's a lot of issues when people are consuming foods, a lot of fatigue that doesn't work for them. So if they're consuming soy, for example, or if they're consuming gluten, for example, the primary symptom I get is brain fog. I hear from people, it's malaise, it's fatigue. I feel like I just can't wake up. I feel like I'm not sharp. I feel like I'm missing something in life. And you know, when we find these foods, then people snap awake and all of a sudden they're far more functional and the kids behave better. So it's awesome.
Yeah, I think that's important to point out is I think a lot of people kind of eating the same foods day in and day out, and they may not even have too many digestive complaints, if any, but they have other complaints like the skin or, like you said, headaches or brain fog, their fatigue, they're needing that coffee drink. So I think it's really important to connect. Okay, it's not necessarily like you're going to get a reaction from soy if you eat it every day. Your body's kind of... Right. You might not get that immediate feedback. So tell us a little bit more about how this elimination diet works and how you may start to get feedback once you remove a food and then perhaps reintroduce it. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Well, the elimination diet's fascinating, right? You literally eliminate the food for a while. So what we do in our program, and this isn't always the same for pregnant lactating women or children, we usually start out with a two-day liquid detox. So we're doing lots of broths, smoothies, soups, juice, and we give the GI tract, the gastrointestinal tract, the digestive tract a break. And at the same time, we're adding in lots of vegetables, lots of fresh foods in the juices to kind of give you a boost in your antioxidant function. Once you go through those 2 days, then we're leaving out some of the prime suspects, the gluten, dairy, eggs, yeast, corn, soy, tree nuts, some of the nightshades, beef and pork, interestingly enough, for a couple of weeks. And we leave out these things that have been shown to have adverse responses in people who have IBS, IBD, the irritated bowels, people who are having mood disorders, people who are having skin problems, migraines, autoimmune dysfunction. So we take out these foods for a couple of weeks. And during that time frame, people's bodies are able to catch up with the healing process. Let's imagine if you're consuming a food, you know, 1 to 3 to 5 times a day, and every time you consume that food, your body mistakenly starts an inflammatory responses. Let's attack this. Then you're dealing with extra inflammation all day long. When you take out those irritants, then the body can calm down. It can start the repair process. And you'll see that when the gut is repaired, then the skin will calm down. When the gut is repaired, the headaches and the joint pain will calm down. So we're looking for those symptoms to calm down. And some people, that's within 2 weeks. Some people, it's 3 weeks. On average, it doesn't take much longer than 3 weeks. But some people with ulcerative colitis, some people with severe skin disorders, sometimes that can take 4 or 5 weeks. And when those symptoms calm down, then we'll add the foods back in one by one. So we'll start with certain foods that are less reactive, and we'll leave some of the big dogs like the gluten and dairy and whatnot for the end. And we'll add them back in one by one, and we'll wait 3 days to see what kind of reaction we have. So you'll take out the, let's say, soy, and you then add it back in, and you eat it, and you wait to see, is there a change in my mood? Is there a change in my skin? Is there a change in my bowel movements? And you really pay attention to how you feel after you eat certain foods. And I'll tell you what, even if people don't have severe reactions, if they have the minor reactions, a little bit of eczema on the eyebrow, for example, it's phenomenal what else is usually connected to the diet. So for example, I'll give you a case study. This gentleman, I bumped into him actually at a party, which is interesting enough, locally. And he says, yeah, I'm going through this diet and it's really helping me and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I'm a nutritionist. What diet are you doing? He's like, oh, it's called the elimination diet. And I'm like, oh, really? Who's that written by? He's like, Tom Maltaire. And I was like, well, that's interesting. That's my name. So we talked to this guy and it was really funny because he's like, you know, I went on this diet and I didn't think anything of it. But my friend had cleared up his eczema and he had terrible breakouts. And so I went on this diet and, you know, sure enough, within a week and a half, you know, I started seeing the skin clear up and it's been gone now for quite a few months. And you know, I'm still not convinced it's the food, but for some reason, you know, it seems to be gone. So I'm like, well, that's weird. But at the same time, I'm noticing my energy is better. At the same time, I'm noticing that I can go to the gym and I have more strength. I have more muscle stamina. And I've had to reduce my blood pressure medication in half because my blood pressure went too low. So there's all these little side effects, these little nuances that, you know, when you start listening to how you feel after you eat, you can find that you can get rid of a lot of those little things that you just thought were normal, that you thought were okay, and you can move to the next level. So that's really, really what I want to do is I want to excite people to pay attention to the most potent medicine on the planet, the food they're eating. And, you know, I see so many people coming into my clinical practice and they've had irritable bowel forever, uterine fibroids, or, you know, terrible issues with hormone fluctuation. And I'll ask them, okay, well, what are you eating? And they'll list all these incredibly nutrient deplete foods. Oh, I'm eating soda pop and I'm eating chocolate and I have pizza. And I'll be like, okay, well, you know, I'm not convinced that these things are supporting your needs. You know, maybe we can try something else and see how you feel. Now, wow, I've been on this medication and it doesn't help me. And I'm on non-steroid anti-inflammatory drugs. I'm on all sorts of proton pump inhibitors for my gastroesophageal reflux. I'm on prednisone for my pain or autoimmune disease. You know, whatever it is they're dealing with, they're on these medications, and I'll say, okay, but have you ever tried changing your food? And they'll say, no, why would I do that? My doctor says that there's no difference in diet. And that whole idea is just like, wow, you're kidding me. Like, what did doctors use before these synthetic medications were invented? Every one of them would say diet, lifestyle, hydrotherapy, you know, acupuncture in the East. You know, and even in the East, what it was constantly herbs, right? Roots, fruits, and shoots. Let's change what you're eating. Let's take some of these medicinal compounds. It's like, I don't know what happened to people's memory in the last 50, 60, 70 years, where everybody assumes that, you know, synthetic chemicals are the answer for everything. But on my way to the office, literally, right before I came up and talked to you, Bridget, you know, Diane Rehm's show was talking about the new FDA warnings on non-steroid anti-inflammatory drugs, how Aleve and ibuprofen now have these warnings that say cause an increased risk for cardiovascular disease and stroke. Every one of them. So the reality is we're like, wait a second, okay, why aren't we looking at the food? We now see the literature for cardiovascular disease and stroke and blood pressure and diabetes and you name the chronic illness. Now we're getting into a lot of data on autoimmune disease and inflammatory bowel. Diet, diet, diet is at the center of everything. So all we do with the elimination diet is we recognize that. We pull out certain foods, we add in other foods, and boom, people feel fabulous.
Okay, so I want to ask you a question about, you told us some great success stories here, and you also talked about the kind of risks of these medications. A lot of my clients come in and they say, oh, you know, I don't like taking medications. I want to do it the natural way. But often when they start to hear, okay, elimination diet, detox, change of lifestyle, then they start scooting back, kind of eyes are darting around the room. It is a change. You know, there's no magic herbal pill to fix your psoriasis necessarily without doing that background work first. So can you tell us how you kind of have designed this elimination diet to be kind of the kinder, gentler version or make it easier for people so that they can do it, so that they will do it?
Yeah, absolutely. So how have we adapted this so people can succeed? Well, that's interesting, you know, because I've been doing this for a long time. And originally what I would do is I would stay way late at the office. So I would say, okay, I want you to change your diet. Let me go to the printer and let me print out my favorite recipes for you. Okay, great. And now here's what we're going to do. At 5 o'clock, when I close my office doors, you're going to meet me at the co-op at 5:15. And there's going to be three other people that I saw today, and we're all going to go through a grocery shopping tour. And I'm going to show you all the foods that you can consume. And then right from there, what we're going to do is I'm going to have you come to my support group on Saturday. And my support group on Saturday, we're going to use the kitchen here at the co-op, and I'm going to teach you how to make some of these recipes. And that worked. That was awesome because people would get engaged. They would learn. They would change their behaviors. They would see how good they felt after 2 weeks. It's just 2 weeks. Come on, what is 2 weeks in an entire lifespan, right? I mean, if you look at your priorities and you say, all right, I can either go through life and I can live half awake, I can live on lots of medications, I can live in severe pain, or I can change my life for a couple of weeks. I mean, really, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, yes, you're going to have to learn how to cook some food. Yeah, you are. But we provide the recipes for you. We provide video, cooking instruction. We provide all these things in our elimination diet program. So basically, we did an online support program so people can succeed, so people have it easy, so they can go on a Facebook group, and at any time they say, oh, wait a second, I've got cravings for crunchy things. What do you guys recommend? Then there's elimination diet-friendly recipes that people share back and forth. So yeah, it can be difficult, and not everybody's ready for this. I'd have to say, if you are dealing with hypoglycemia, you're not eating enough right now, then I would say, watch out. Don't over-restrict. If you have anorexia, bulimia, you may not be a good candidate for the elimination diet because it may cause you to over-restrict your dietary intake. So you want to be cautious of that. If you are under a tremendous amount of stress, you're a busy mom, you've got the 3 kids, 4 kids in the background, and you've got to do, you know, maybe you're working from home as well. I don't know. You know, some of these things are just a little overwhelming. So then you take it one step at a time. You can grab 10 to 13 recipes that are elimination diet friendly and practice making those recipes over and over again. The ones that your family loves, that you love. And then pretty soon, what you'll find is the average family will rotate between 10 and 13 recipes over and over and over again. So if you can just replace some of the ones you're using now with some of these elimination diet-friendly recipes, boom, there you go. So actually on our website, we've done that. We've allowed people to, once you purchase a book, you can purchase it on our website and or go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, enter in your little code for where you purchased it, and we'll give you a free elimination diet cookbook. And so you can start adapting. You can start cooking some of these simple recipes, and then boom, before you know it, you've added in things that taste fabulous, and your family doesn't even know you've removed a lot of foods. So that's the kicker. It's not necessarily what you're taking out. It's what you're introducing, what you're able to eat. So that seems to be the strategy that works. So let me share one of those recipes with you, okay?
Sure.
This is a nightshade-free chicken taco recipe, okay? And what we do is we'll take organic chicken breasts, or we have a CSA here, local community-supported agriculture, where they have these fantastic chickens, right? And we'll take those chickens, either the whole chicken or the chicken breasts, and you can put them in a crock pot. And I like to cover them with tart cherry juice. And the tart, you can do it with pomegranate as well, but you get the whole, I believe it's Santa Cruz and Knudsen's, they have the just tart cherry, or, you know, it's not a blend, it's just the tart cherry juice. And you just cover the chicken with the cherry juice. So if it's chicken breast, it's super easy. It'll take like 3/4 of a cup, maybe a cup. And then you add in a little bit of cumin, a little bit of I like herbamare, which is a sea salt blend, and a little bit of pepper. That's it. Put it on low, let it cook for 7 hours. And when it cooks for 7 hours on low, it gets so tender and so juicy. And you just walk in with a fork after 7 hours, pull the lid off, separate the breasts, and boom, they just shred up nicely. Mm. Let them soak up some of that juice and spice for another, you know, 30, 45 minutes or an hour. So after 8 hours maximum, you're done, completely done. So you could have gone to work and come back, and you had this ready to rock for you. It's okay if you leave it for 9 or 10 hours. It's just going to be softer. It's fine. And then, you know, boom, you have this shredded chicken ready to rock. Now, what you do with it from here is you know, up to you, but you have some great options. We have a nice recipe for plantain tortillas. Mm. In essence, you just take green plantains. You peel them, stick them into a Cuisinart food processor, and then you add in a little bit of arrowroot flour. You add in a little bit of sea salt. You blend that up, and it makes this dough. And then we have a standard tortilla press, and we put parchment paper down, silicone-coated parchment paper, and you put these little balls on it, put it in the tortilla press, zoop, squeeze it down, put some coconut oil into a cast iron skillet, flop these things in. You can make your own plantain tortillas.
Mm, that sounds then, great.
Oh, so delicious. Then you add on top of that, right? You can put in a little bit of broccoli sprouts if you want to add some medicine in there. You can put in a little sauerkraut if you want a little probiotic-rich substance in there. Or you can go conventional. You can do a little bit of avocado. Some people like to slice a little bit of mango for a little sweetness. You know, you can mix it up and make yourself a delicious taco. Or if you're a person who doesn't want to take the time to make a tortilla but still wants something delicious and nutritious, you can take a kabocha squash. Kabocha is a Japanese pumpkin. It's one of the most nutritious, easiest digested substances around. It's fabulous. We grow these in my garden. You cut it in half. You scoop the seeds out of it. Place it in a 9 by 13 pound, just, you know, face down. Pour in an eighth, you know, or a quarter of an inch of water around the base of that. Stick it in the oven, 400 degrees. Cook it for 40 minutes. Pull it back out. And boom, you've got a bowl that you can put your chicken in. So you put the chicken into this squash bowl, and you can consume the chicken and the squash at the same time. Once again, you can top it with some greens, some sprouts, some sauerkraut, whatever you want. It's absolutely delicious. So, you know, chicken tacos. I haven't met a family that doesn't like chicken tacos, right? So if you're vegetarian, you can do a bean version of this. But it's so easy. It is so simple. You know, and people don't recognize, oh my gosh, this is chicken without tomatoes. This is chicken that doesn't have any sort of, you know, breading on it that might be wheat. You know, they just don't even think. They just think, wow, it's a delicious recipe, right? So the goal is finding things to put into the family's diet that they don't even know is elimination diet friendly. Mm. And the next thing you know, boom, you're done. You've gone through a couple of weeks, and you wait and you see what happens to your children's, you know, attention deficit disorder, their autism. Boy, I've seen so many amazing cases of children just turning into new human beings after they go on the elimination diet. So it's fabulous.
Yeah, that's really cool. And you have some good ideas. You know, if you're a person who is eating a lot of gluten and dairy and you think, oh, I'm going to go on this elimination diet and I've got kids running around and a busy career, it probably would be intimidating. But if you think, well, let me just buy the book and I'll learn some recipes slowly. I'll kind of browse the book. And then, yeah, you know, maybe in a few months you've already accidentally done it, or you're ready to do it because you know how to cook already. You know the skills to get through those 2 weeks. Is that about right?
That's exactly right. And you know what? There's no race. There really isn't. I mean, life happens when you're ready for it and it's ready for you. So there's no reason to kind of feel like you have to do this overnight. That's ridiculous. I mean, it's fun. It's fun when you're prepared.
Hmm.
When you're not prepared, you know, it can feel completely and totally overwhelming. But all you have to do is just grab one little thing at a time, enjoy the process of learning new recipes, and boom, away you run. If you do the online support program, you know, we have webinars where I walk you through my favorite recipes. I walk you through how to prepare your kitchen, what specific things to buy. I give you handouts on grocery shopping lists, you know, all these things to make it super, super easy for you. And then Allie has 26 different recipe instruction videos where she literally sits in the kitchen and shows you how to make things. So, you know, we want people to succeed. I don't want people to suffer. I mean, it doesn't have to be that way at all. In fact, for years, decades, well, a little over a decade now, I've been watching people do the elimination diet and saying, oh my gosh, it's so difficult, oh my gosh. And after they get all these resources and they look at that mindset of like, oh, this is doable, let's just take it one bit at a time, I'm hearing tons of feedback and saying it wasn't difficult at all. It was easy. You know, you just had to get the hang of it. So it just depends on how you look at it and what resources you use.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And so many people weren't raised cooking. We were kind of raised in that different generation where processed foods were discovered and multiplied at a great rate. So a lot of us didn't learn how to cook and we're intimidated, especially if we work all day. So that's so awesome. You have a program that will just show you and walk you through it. I think for some people, it's a big step to buy a crock pot and buy a whole chicken. But then when you are successful, it's so exciting, right?
The reality is, Bridget, this is not just about this elimination diet. This is about the rest of your life. And the behaviors you learn, you know, through this particular process will carry you everywhere. They'll reduce your risk for cardiovascular disease. They will reduce your risk for cancer. They will increase your vitality. They'll, you know, a lot of people say after they complete this diet, I feel 20 years younger. I bumped into a gal who did the diet a couple years ago, just recently, and she said, oh my gosh, I'm running home to cook your tart cherry chicken tacos right now. I've been using those for years. So people love the recipes. They love the process. And it's much more than just going through, you know, a couple weeks of finding out what foods work for you. It's learning new lifestyles, new recipes that will serve you for the rest of your life. And when you look at it that way, you're like, okay, well, gosh, it's like anything. If I want to learn a new skill, for example, I've been dying to learn how to salsa dance, right? So if you want to learn a new skill, you go to a lesson and you learn the first couple of steps. And then, you know, you learn how to do it with a partner. And then you learn how to do more complex steps. And next thing you know how to dance, right? So it's the same thing. I mean, gosh, yeah, first take something easy. Take chicken soup, for example. You don't need a crock pot for that. You just need a big pot at your house and some water. You go and get a whole chicken, throw it in the pot, cover it with water, throw in some carrots and some celery. And if you like garlics and onions and spices, you know, throw those in. Let it just boil, low simmer for a couple hours. Take out the chicken, you know, separate the meat from the bones and then throw that back into the broth. And, you know, after you've strained out the broth and the whole process might seem like, oh my gosh, what? Making my own chicken soup? That's crazy, right? But once you get it done, you're like, oh my gosh, all I have to do is that once a week. And then I've got food for days, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, I can put it in my fridge in mason jars, or I can freeze it and keep it whenever I'm, you know, really short on time. And gosh, we've had people who get together every Sunday. They have these little groups and they form these little cooking groups where they'll say, okay, what do you want to make? Okay, I want to make this, this, and this. Okay, and I'll make this, this, and this. We'll get together. We'll cook all day long, have chatting, a lot of fun, you know, whatever. It's not all day long, 3-4 hours, whatever it is. And then at the end, we'll share our recipes, right? We'll share our food, and we'll take our Pyrex dishes or stainless steel dishes or Tupperware, whatever you're using, and we'll bring it home, put it in the fridge, mason jars for soups and stews, put them in the freezer. So throughout the week, we can quickly grab this stuff on our way to work and whatnot. So, you know, here's what I do, Bridget, is I've got these stainless steel containers, right, from lifewithoutplastic.com. And I will just put my food in that before I leave the house. And usually it's food I've prepared the night before or over the weekend. You know, I'll have little snack packs, whatever, ready to rock. And then I can put it in a little soft cooler that's got cooler packs in it. And I just carry it around with me throughout the day. So, you know, I don't have to go eat out. I save a lot of money, as well as I'm eating very nutritious foods that my body loves. So then my brain is sharp, my body's sharp, you know, I'm ready to rock. But if, you know, a lot of people, they're not prepared, they go out to eat somewhere. Every time they go out to eat lunch somewhere or dinner somewhere, they just feel terrible afterwards. And it's like, is it worth it? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you feel? What are you getting from your food? Are you getting vitality? Are you feeling like you're healing and you're growing and you're moving to the next level and you're a very functional human being? Or you feeling like you eat and you just kind of get by, you know? So It's a choice. It's a choice. Sure, it takes a little bit of extra effort and time. Yes, it does. But what you get out of it is a whole new level of existence. So for me, it's worth it.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's totally inspiring. So I want to talk a little bit more about children, and you know, you guys have 5 kids, so you've learned to cook things that they'll actually eat. I know that's something mothers struggle with. So let me ask you this: did any of your kids ever develop food sensitivities?
Oh, you're kidding. Yeah, we have a couple of kids that have severe behavioral issues when they consume certain foods. So, you know, we've got a gluten responder who's pretty severe. We have 2 children that have some oat issues. We found food over time, and one has a corn response. And, you know, one of them gets really giddy after they consume the food they respond to, and they start laughing, they get hyperactive, they get aggressive. So that's curious. Another one gets really weepy. Like, he'll just start breaking down. He's super emotional, doesn't want to do anything. It's really bizarre, but it's like a switch flips in their brain and they become different human beings, and they're not the most fun to be around when those different human beings. So absolutely, we've learned through our children what specific foods work for specific people. And because we have 5, we've noticed that there are no real set patterns that, you know, each kid responds differently to different foods. So it's been kind of unique. I mean, we do have a couple with the gluten issues, but, you know, as the other things, you just don't know. It depends on the kid. But absolutely, absolutely, we've seen all sorts of different stuff.
Okay. So you mentioned earlier some factors that could come into play for developing food sensitivities would be being born by C-section or using, you know, history of antibiotic use. What are some other factors that come into play on which food sensitivities each person will get?
Yeah. You know, this is all about the immune system, right? Which is misnamed. It should have been called the microbial interaction system. So the cells of our body are actually designed to sense who's outside and who's inside and who's friend and who's foe. That's your immune system. It's your 6th sense. It's this entire cell network that looks for potential harm. And that used to be the thing that would kill us more than anything else, right? Was the bacterial viruses or parasites. And now we don't have that. We've killed a lot of those things off. And so our system that was designed to sense and deal with those issues is now confused. It's not trained anymore to respond to the things it was supposed to be responding to. So if you have a person who was born via C-section and they did not get exposed to a lot of the mom's microbes in the vaginal canal, or if you have a baby that was not breastfed and was not fed the starches in breast milk that actually keep certain organisms, certain microbes in the intestinal tract, if you have a child that has had ear infections and received antibiotics or has had some sort of illness and received antibiotics early on, then you've knocked out a lot of these microbes that would communicate with this cell network. So, yeah, those people are far more susceptible. add on top of that a child who was born later on in the mix, so the third or fourth or fifth child, probably doesn't have as much nutrients like vitamin A, vitamin D, zinc that would be suppressive of overactive immune response. Add in a child who doesn't like to eat much food. They're very, very picky, and they just like, you know, chicken nuggets and french fries and grilled cheese sandwiches. Then a lot of times there's zinc insufficient, vitamin A insufficient possibly. So their immune system may not be working as well as it could be. So there's a lot of different things that would trigger that. Stress itself can actually cause misbehavior of the immune cell function. And what we're seeing from the recent literature, which is fascinating, Bridget, is something called toxicant-induced loss of tolerance, where people who are exposed to lots of pesticides, people who are exposed to air pollution, people who are exposed to lots of scented agents in the house, like scented candles, scented dryer sheets, perfumes, you know, lots of these different scents and whatnot. They have something in them called phthalates. These can change the immune cell function. So toxicants themselves can alter how the immune cells behave. You know, triclosan, have you heard of that stuff, the hand sanitizer?
Mm-hmm.
Or parabens, which is a preservative found in skincare lotions and sunscreens. Gosh, there's a nice study of these showing that when a person has higher levels of these chemicals in their urine, you can increase their food sensitivity responses, meaning their allergies, by 400%. Mm. So it's, you know, yeah, certain chemicals will alter how people respond to their environment as well. So there's a lot of different things that increase a person's susceptibility to food sensitivities. But in essence, I say it's simple. They have too many irritants and not enough nutrients.
Mm.
And so the irritants would be the things like the chemicals and the junk food, and the not enough nutrients would be things like beneficial bacterium, you know, proper nutrition of vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals. So that simplifies it when you look at it that way.
Okay. Yeah, that's really helpful. And for some reason I never equated a lack of nutrients to causing food sensitivities, but that totally makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've seen that in the literature, animal literature and human literature, that an insufficiency of certain nutrients at certain developmental stages can actually alter the immune cell function for a couple of generations, actually. So, yeah, it's helpful to make sure a child is receiving what they need from their diet and possibly from supplementation, too, if their diet has not been adequate for a long period of time.
Okay, so as we talk about some reasons why food sensitivities could happen, if we sort of fix some of those reasons, reduce toxic exposure, get more nutrients, heal the gut, can we become less sensitive to foods?
Absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, there's some really neat research on people who have adapted diets and have been able to then tolerate certain foods again. So there are certain foods that are what's called transient. So the food response may come and go. I see that with egg and corn and soy and some people. Dairy and gluten stay around longer. I have had a few cases of people who can tolerate gluten, even though they were diagnosed as celiacs. That's not common at all. And it's not recommended for the average person. These people went on a strict, what's called specific carbohydrate diet. So, and they do it for years. But I would say the average person who's got a gluten or dairy sensitivity would probably need to just avoid those foods. But some of the other things, like some of the nuts, some of the citrus and soy and corn, yes, I've seen people be able to tolerate those after the gut has calmed down, after the nutrient levels have increased. So they've been able to tolerate the foods just fine.
Okay. Yeah. So, I imagined there were a few like soy or dairy or gluten that, you know, you're not too crazy about people going back to in full force. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Because what seems to happen is maybe for the first couple of times they eat it, they're fine. And then slowly the symptoms creep back in and they don't even notice. And then you'll kind of have them come back to the office and you're like, oh, that's interesting. Your energy level looks really low. Like you're not responding as quickly when I ask you questions. And they'll be like, what? Oh my gosh, you're right. You know, and they won't even notice that their symptoms have come back. And then they go back off those foods and they disappear.
Yeah, and that brings up the 3-day challenge, which I have questioned sometimes because I think it can be hard to sometimes tell. Like, you know, you're really good at this. You've had a lot of practice, so you can see it in your kids right away, but we may not always see it in ourselves as clearly, right?
Oh, yeah. And that's why I encourage journaling. But here's the kicker that I've been playing with lately, Bridget, which is really fun. It's video journaling. So I'll have people at the end of the day take their iPhones or their Androids and I'll say, look, just do a selfie of yourself talking about what's going on for yourself that day. And the weird thing is that it's the eyes, it's the skin, it's the tone of voice, it's the little nuances that people can pick up on. So if they just do those little video clips of themselves, then they can look back and they can say, look, here I am on day one. I'm just like not very responsive. I'm kind of slow. I'm kind of slurring a little bit. There are, you know, other issues going on. And here I am on day 12 and like, you know, I'm sharp. Like, look at my skin. Oh my gosh, it's a different color. And, you know, so that type of, you know, tracking of what's going on. And then they can do it during the challenge phase. And they could say, here I am day one of corn. And this is what I look like. And this is what I feel like. And here's what my bowel movements are doing. And here's day 3 on corn. And here's what I look like. And you can pick up on the nuances on the video. Mm. So that's a possibility. Journals are awesome. I love journals. And we give free people, you know, if you go on our resources page right now, you can copy down journal pages and print them off. And if you want 60 days of journal pages, you can write that up. You can keep track and you can look at the patterns and you can say, ah, yeah, I'm experiencing this. Look at that. It's within 12 hours after eating this food. Oh my gosh, it happens every time. You know, that's great. If you want to do that, that's awesome. It takes a bit of time. Some people don't have that time or commitment. So, you know, a little 1-minute video at the end of each day, phenomenal.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a really great idea. I can tell you've honed this process. That's awesome. So I want to start wrapping up. I want to definitely tell people more about your website. Is there anything that we missed that you want to make sure you get across?
Oh, gosh. I would just welcome people if, you know, they have an inkling because people know. I mean, you know. If you're listening to this and you go, you know what? I think it's my food. I think he's right. Then, you know, run with that. Trust yourself. Go with your instincts and, you know, give it a shot. It's not that difficult. Really, you can do it. And if you, you know, do the online program, you're going to see that we give you all the tools you need for success. And the book is actually quite good. I mean, you can read through the whole book and you'll have lots of resources and ideas. So, you know, just give it a shot. It's not that difficult. That's all. Cool. And the other thing is, you know, check out our site. Go to wholelifenutrition.net and see if you like the information about the elimination diet. Watch the videos. We give you free recipes on there. We'll walk you through some of the cooking of the tacos and some other things. So check that out.
Cool. And I let you know, I want to emphasize, you don't have to start as soon as the book arrives in the mail. Like you said, you know, read it over, practice some recipes, get some new kitchen equipment, and then you'll be ready. I think I might buy one of your older books because I like to try to get my son involved in cooking. And I think, you know, some of these recipes honestly look super delicious and, you know, kid friendly. So I think I might pick up one or two of those older books to play around with him.
We have our 3-year-old, both of our 7-year-olds, our 10-year-old and our 13-year-old in the kitchen. So all of them cook.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So important.
Yeah.
Cool. And that website's wholelifenutrition.net. You've also got a resource for people to learn more about functional medicine, right?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I teach a program called the Progressive Practitioner Coaching Program. And it's geared towards practitioners who would like to learn more about what functional medicine is and how it works. But I have to tell you, I've been doing this for 3 years, and I've had 5 lay people who have no experience in being a practitioner at all who have completed the course. And the vast majority of them are actually going on to become practitioners because of the course.
Aww.
So it's quite sweet. 3 of them are doing schooling right now. So it's a fascinating mindset to look for the mechanism of disease, to look at how we're interconnected with our air, food, water, and soil. On how when we're conscious of the things that impact ourselves, we can live without needing synthetic interventions and without suffering from a huge state of dis-ease. So it's a wonderful thing to share.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that because I know we've got some practitioners of different types listening, or lay people, like you mentioned, maybe interested in getting into the field. And we talked mostly about practical stuff today, cooking, but I know you're a really bright mind when it comes to science and functional medicine. So I want people to know that too and know they have that resource available. So thank you so much, Tom. Such helpful information.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Bridget. Yeah, I'm sure hoping some people find what they're looking for out there.
Yeah. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. We appreciate that you're open to learning something new about your health. If you thought this show would be helpful for someone in your life, just, you know, forward them the link, tell them about the show. That's how we grow as a community. And you can also comment. You know, this show will be posted as a blog on our website. So if you've got some recipes, ideas that you use with your family, you want to share, or comments on your own elimination diet experience, you can do that there. And that's bridgetdanner.com. And we will be back next week with another great guest. So hope you can tune in. The easiest way is to just stay subscribed to the show on your podcast player. Until next week, thanks everybody. Bye-bye.